We're paying tribute to James Brown on this edition of Fresh Air. Bruce Tucker co-authored Brown's 1986 autobiography, The Godfather of Soul. Tucker is a white writer who is teaching a course at Fisk University on the autobiographies of black musicians when he realized there was a big gap. James Brown hadn't written his story. Tucker convinced Brown to write an autobiography and became Brown's collaborator. I spoke with Tucker in 1990 after a new edition was published.
Well, let's listen to the first hit that he had, and this is from 1956. The record was Please, Please, Please. Would you like to say something about this?
Well, this is James's first record. He recorded a demo of it in a Macon radio station, and it eventually got to King Records in Cincinnati. And he went up there, and the Famous Flames went with him, and they cut it. And it was a hit. It was a big hit.
Please, 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 please.
James Brown, Please, 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 recorded in 1956. And my guest, Bruce Tucker, wrote James Brown's autobiography with him. Fill us in a little bit about his background. He came from a really poor background.
Yes. He was born out in the woods in South Carolina and moved into Augusta, Georgia, which was a wide-open serviceman's town in the late 30s, early 40s. Lived in a brothel with an aunt named Honey Washington. They sold moonshine whiskey in addition to the other activities that went on in that house. Eventually, the house was closed down by the police. James then, always a pre-teenager, I guess you would say, began getting into trouble here and there. He broke into some unlocked cars to steal some clothes, got caught, and was sentenced to 8 to 16 years in prison for breaking into unlocked cars. Again, another extremely harsh sentence. He served only 3 of those years. He wrote a letter to the parole board saying that he wanted to get out and sing gospel for the Lord. He was known as Music Box in prison because of his singing. He got out, formed the group, and then about 6 years later, there came Please, 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 and then after that, he conquered the Apollo Theater in New York and went on from there to become the superstar that he remains.
My guest is Bruce Tucker, who wrote with James Brown the book James Brown, The Godfather of Soul. And as you say, James Brown is really the godfather of funk. And the turning point for him in terms of starting to play funk was his 1965 record, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. What was different about this record, and what did James Brown have to tell you about it?
The difference in funk is that all of the rhythmic emphasis is on the one, is on that first downbeat at the beginning of a measure. And it really drives the music forward. You can hear it in this song, in Embryo, and then in later work quite clearly. And the other thing is the polyrhythmic complexity, which is what James is known for. The other thing I think worth noting about this record is the date. In 1965, James was already leaving soul behind for funk. I mean, it's an amazingly revolutionary record if you put it in historical perspective like that.
I really like something he said to you about this record. He said that he discovered his strength wasn't in the horns, it was in the rhythm. He said he was hearing everything, even the guitars, like they were drums.
Exactly, yes. And I think that is the key to funk and the key to James Brown. Everything is used percussively, the voices, the guitars, the drums. He carried 2 and sometimes 3 drummers during this period on the road. Yes, everything is used percussively. I think one of the difficulties in making the case for musicians like James Brown for their importance is that Western music theory downgrades things that aren't important in European classical music, such as rhythm. And so there's no means of adequately notating it or so forth, or appreciating it. And so we're, in a sense, trained not to hear it. But it's there. And that's James's great, great achievement.
Kind of a riddle to me politically. I mean, he had that really big and really influential record, Say It Loud and Black and I'm Proud in 1968. He had supported H. Rapp Brown. At the same time, though, he supported Richard Nixon and played at Richard Nixon's inaugural. Can you help reconcile those two different political parts of James Brown?
Well, it's difficult to reconcile the parts of James Brown because I think James Brown is deeply ambivalent about a great many things, and I think it shows up in precisely those kinds of oppositions that you set up. He gave money to the H. Rapp Brown Defense Fund. He also bought a lifetime membership in the NAACP. He was a great admirer of Dr. Martin Luther King, and he's very close to Reverend Al Sharpton. He made a record that was almost contemporaneous with Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, called America Is My Home, for which he took a great deal of heat from a great many people. So I think that there's a deep contradiction in him, and I think it's difficult to reconcile. I think it's difficult for him to reconcile because this country has greatly rewarded him and viciously punished him throughout his life, beginning from the time he was a child and right up to the present. The song Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, which appeared in 68, of course, cost him his crossover audience. People became afraid to come to his concerts and so forth. And if you listen to the song, of course, what you immediately notice is that it's almost a children's song. There's a children's chorus on there singing the refrain.
Bruce Tucker speaking with Terry Gross in 1990. He collaborated on the 1986 James Brown autobiography, The Godfather of Soul. More about James Brown in the second half of the show. I'm David B. Inculli, and this is Fresh Air.